This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In a name association game, you might not connect Janet Reno to Bob Dylan or Marvin Gaye until this week, when the former attorney general issued a 3-CD compilation of traditional American music. And no, Ms. Reno possesses no previously undiscovered musical ability. She collaborated with family member Ed Peterson, who is a musician and a record producer, to present 50 songs that date from 1492 to the present in new recordings by a wide variety of contemporary artists. Yes, Yankee Doodle. Yes, Dixie's Land. And yes, the times, they are a-changin'.
Come gather round people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the time they are a-changin'.
The Del McCurry Band, among the artists who tackle 50 iconic tunes that capture moments in history on the new CD collection called Song of America. So, what one song would you argue for, and why? Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can make your song suggestion on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later in the hour, now that his baseball season is over, Alex Rodriguez could reap unheard-of riches. The bidding could start at $30 million per. But first, the Song of America. We begin with Janet Reno, former Attorney General of the United States. Her voice has changed a bit since leaving office as the result of Parkinson's disease. She joins us from a studio at our member station WLRN in Miami. And Janet Reno, it's good to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
She's there with her co-producer, Ed Peterson, her niece's husband, and welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And Janet Reno, who knew you were a folk music fan?
Well, I listened to Ed and thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have songs of America that tell its story in song available for children just starting to choose a record that they might like to listen to.
I didn't mean to stop you.
It's a wonderful opportunity to bring music to children through the schools, through teachers' associations. And Ed and his colleagues have done such a wonderful job of putting together an exciting group of songs.
And an exciting group of artists as well. I wonder, a lot of these songs are very familiar to many of us. I guess in part that's the idea. But the treatment is sometimes unusual.
That's what struck me, and what people tell me, that's what impresses them. It's Yankee Doodle is a classic example. That's a song that was sung by both sides, poking fun at each other during the last days of the Revolution. The soldiers that came out to defend their home really won that, and it's a perfect example of a spoof.
Let's hear a little bit of Harper Simon's rendition of Yankee Doodle. That one of the excerpts from the new collection, Song of America. Ed Peterson, I know that your Aunt Janney, as you call her, was involved in helping you work out some of the parameters of this music.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the first evening that we came up with the project back in 1998, when she was still Attorney General, she had drawn out by hand on paper, and I still have the piece of paper, 24 or 25 eras of American history that she felt that we needed to cover and that were important. And it was kind of curious that in the end, our template almost exactly mirrored what she drew out that night 9 years ago.
And if you think about it, you have a limitation. There's a finite amount of material you can fit on 3 CDs. You have 50 songs covering over 500 years of history. These are impossible choices.
It was a lot. It was very, very – the hardest part, I think, was getting from 700 songs that we started with and getting it down to 50. It was almost impossible.
What were some of the excruciating choices that you had to make?
Well, for example, I felt that, you know, every year it seems, even today, that we have, you know, how many mining disasters around the world, 3 or 4 every year at least.
And
the Merle Travis song, Dark as a Dungeon, we actually cut for the recording. We cut for the collection, and it just didn't make it. And that was one of those songs that I was really torn up about leaving it off. But if we had left that on, it would have eliminated, like, the last song that we recorded, which was Wave, an Alejandro Escovedo song about the Latin immigrant experience. So it really was that difficult. It was gut-wrenching at times.
Here's a tune that you did include, and I think anybody would have to admit that it has to be in the top 50 songs about America. This is Joni Harm's version of Home on the Range.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play. Seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
And Janet Reno, I know that this song has a special part, place in your heart.
Isn't that your favorite song, Janie?
It's a song I've sung all my life, and it seems like it's home.
And we think of it as the quintessential cowboy song, but Ed Peterson, it turns out that's a misperception.
Yeah, there's a lot of songs on the collection that we found out different meanings and different origins for the songs. Sweet Betsy from Pike, for example, was a song that had so many different renditions and so many different lyrics that the legendary Guy Clark himself came down and gave us these extra lyrics to the recording session. And he's like, hey, you know, you have to include this. And we're like, there's like 22 verses, you know. So it was some tough decisions to get down. But yes, Home on the Range was, you know, often associated with the cowboy era. But it's also a lot of people feel that it represents Middle America to them and the opening of the West.
And Sweet Betsy from Pike, I guess I didn't really know what it was about. I've known the tune my whole life, but it's if you listen to it, and reading the liner notes is a bit of a help, but if you listen to it, it's about the gold rush into California.
Did you ever hear tell of Sweet Betsy from Pike? Who crossed the wide prairies with her lover eye? Two yoke of cattle and one spotted hog. A tall Shanghai rooster and an old yellow dog.
And Pike, of course, Pike County, Missouri. And I think one of the things you've done, Ed Peterson, in this collection is restored meaning to a lot of words that we just sort of we knew, but we weren't paying attention to.
That's a nice little ancillary benefit that we've gotten from the project. And, you know, I'll tell you a neat little side story to Sweet Betsy from Pike. We were in the studio recording with BR-549, and Chuck Mead, the lead singer, was doing a take. And when he got to the word Placerville, he pronounced it Placerville.
As I have badly on this program.
Exactly, because we haven't been there. But my assistant engineer grew up near Placerville, and he spoke up and said, hey, guys, not for nothing, but, you know, we want to be correct. It's Placerville. And we were all like, oh, man, thank you so much. I mean, that would have been a big mistake. So
yeah.
It was magical all the way around.
How did you pick the artists to perform each one of these tunes?
Well, you know, believe it or not, 80% of the artists we approached said yes straight off.
Really?
Yeah, it was incredible. There were only maybe 10 or 12 artists that we approached out of 60 or 70 that said no. And basically, it's, you know, I'm from the Tin Pan Alley school of songwriting and production. And the way I was taught is that the song is king. And if you have a great song and you can get a great performance with a really talented artist, you just got to get out of the way. Hmm. So that's what we did. Basically, we David Macias, my co-producer, who's just brilliant and one of the hardest working guys I've ever met, we sat down and we really fought over it and banged our heads together. And it came down to what we really felt. If we really felt that someone could really get it and inhabit the song, that's how we made the decision.
So what song would you recommend to be among the 50 to be collected in A Song of America? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org, and let's talk with Keith. Keith with us from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, Neil. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I'm stuck in the 20th century, but I think Tennessee Ernie Ford's Company Store is really essential.
I owe my soul to the Company Store.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the Company Store's the title, but it just seems to me like it really blends the sort of the day-to-day, workaday thoughts and existences of the common American citizenry with that sort of political awareness thing.
Mm, and Ed Peterson, I think the name of that tune is 16 Tons, isn't it?
16 Tons, what do you get?
Another day older and deeper in debt, yes.
It sounds like the music business to me.
Keith, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Great
Keith
show.
Keith is spot on. That's another tough call. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess that's a lot of my friends are like, so is there going to be another volume?
We're talking with Janet Reno, the former attorney general, about her new project, Song of America. More with her and co-producer Ed Peterson in a minute. And we'll hear from one of the artists who performs on the CD. You can also weigh in with your vote for the Song of America. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And this is from the album. Of course, it's Stars and Stripes Forever. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Just before the break, we heard a version of Stars and Stripes Forever played on the ukulele by Jake Shimabukuro, and you can see a video of him performing that on our website. That's at npr.org/talk. We're talking about the new CD put out by Janet Reno, the former attorney general, who came up with the idea for Song of America, the collection that brings together more than 500 years of traditional American music. She's with us, as is co-producer Ed Peterson, a member of her family, her niece's husband. If you want to hear some of the other tracks on the CD, you can go to npr.org/talk. Also, join us on the phone. What one song would you argue for and why? Again, 800-989-8255, or email us talk@npr.org, or send us your vote at npr.org/blog of the nation. Janet Reno, as you listen to the different interpretations of these songs, many of which I'm sure you've known your whole life, were there any that surprised you?
The Stars and Stripes surprised me. That was certainly a variation on what I was accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the Battle Hymn of the Republic was one of the most wonderful productions that I've heard.
Hmm.
And it was just a perfect balance. But there were so many songs on these three discs that it makes me, I'm amazed that Ed and his colleagues were able to put it together.
Mm-hmm. Ed, as you listened to the various contributions, did you talk to the artists about how they were going to approach it?
Sometimes, you know, like, for example, the Blind Boys of Alabama, who, you know, we're all in awe of, they came into the studio and I sat down with them in the lounge of the studio and said, hey, listen, have you guys ever sung this song before? And they're like, no. And I'm like, no. And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, do you know the song? They're like, eh, sorta. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be a long day. And then they started opening their mouths.
Hmm.
And then the earth started shaking. And I knew that I just had to get out of the way.
The song he's talking about is called Let Us Break Bread Together.
Let us break bread together on our knees.
On our knees.
Let us
break bread together.
That, the Blind Boys of Alabama from the collection Song of America. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Rich. Rich with us from, where is this? Simmons in Indiana?
Sunman. S-U-N-M-A-N.
Sunman. If we could spell, we'd be dangerous. Go ahead.
This is Reno. It's nice to talk to you.
Yeah, if we could spell, we wouldn't have to be in radio. But go ahead.
back in about the mid-60s, there was a Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler.
Sure, Ballad of the Green Beret, yeah.
Yes, and my father bought an old RCA phonograph back in the early 60s, and the four records he bought, one of them was Sergeant Barry Sadler's The Green Beret, and the other one he bought was Senator Everett Dirksen.
Hmm.
And
oh, my goodness.
You remember that, Janet Reno, don't you?
Yes.
He had such a voice. I mean, I don't know about his politics. I wasn't that old then. I wasn't into it. But he had such a narrative voice, and he read the preamble to the Constitution, the Gettysburg Address, and all those. And they had music in the background, but I can still remember them. And I joined the Air Force because of Sergeant Barry Sadler and the Vietnam War back then. His voice, and it was such an inspiration. And mm-hmm. I know his life didn't turn out so well after the war, which a lot didn't. But
you're talking about Barry Sadler, not Everett Dirksen, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. But it was just something I'll always remember.
Yeah, thanks very much for that. That's appreciated.
Thank you for your service.
Memory.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Ben Taylor, one of the artists who's featured on the Song of America compilation, and he plays a song by Neil Young, a lot of people remember, called Ohio.
Ten soldiers and Nixon's coming, we're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drum for dead in Ohio. Gonna get down to it, soldiers are gone.
Another song from the Vietnam War era. Ben Taylor joins us from the studios at NPR West in Culver City, California. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. Nice
and
to be on the show.
How did you get involved in this project?
I was down at a music convention in Austin, South by Southwest, and I was playing a little gig at a bar there in the middle of the afternoon, and I was waiting to go on, or we were having some technical difficulties or something like that, and a guy approached me at the bar and told me about the project and asked me if I wanted to sing a Neil Young song, and the project sounded like such a great idea, and I love Neil Young, so
mm-hmm.
it was an easy sell.
Mm-hmm. So did you pick this song, or was it suggested to you?
No, it was suggested to me, and even though I'm a tremendous Neil Young fan, I really hadn't studied the song, as you know, I'm hearing from you guys talking about on the show. It sounds like a lot of the artists really hadn't studied the song until they got their teeth around it in the studio for the first time. So
well,
it was nice.
Studied it. Were you familiar with it? Had you heard it before?
Of course, yes, of course. I had heard it before, but actually, and it's a funny thing, I was just thinking about it while I was listening to it then. I completely misinterpreted the song when I first heard it, and I thought it was just because the only thing that really stuck in my head, I didn't know the lyric, the only thing that stuck in my head was "This Summer I Hear the Drummin'."
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I thought it was a song about I knew it was a protest song, I got the feeling, but I thought it was about the Native American people. So when we came to cut it, I listened to the original. I said, "Oh God, of course it's completely not about that. It's a protest song about these kids who got shot." And I found out about it. So it was nice to actually be a part of the process of being educated through the music as an artist. But also when it came to reinterpreting it, because I didn't want to copy Neil's version because it's perfect. I thought to myself, "Oh, what if we did the verse with sort of like an Indian bass drum, as if that's what it was?" So that's how we.
It must be daunting to try to cover something that is both so familiar and so well done.
Yeah, it was nice to have an excuse to do it, actually.
Now you're a young man, and for people who don't know, your parents are James Taylor and Carly Simon. This song for you is history.
That's right.
You didn't live through this era.
No, I didn't. Although, I can't even begin to imagine. It was well before I was born.
Sure. As you listen to the other music that's on this CD, it's remarkable how much history you can learn.
It's so nice. I mean, I like any educational project that has listening aids, and this is the perfect one as far as I'm concerned. I hope it's the beginning of people doing more and more projects like this.
Janet Reno, I was interested. We had heard an interview the other morning with the historian David McCullough on Morning Edition, and he was talking with Steve Inskeep about, people tend to put history in a box. He has an illustrated version of his book 1776 out, and he says, history is not just about, battles and politicians. History is about music and art and literature. You have to put all of these in context.
Absolutely. And the idea of the little boxes on the hilltop.
Little Boxes, that great Malvina Reynolds song.
Yes. And again, music is just at the heart of so much of what we do of our day. The rhythm of music comes through. And the songs on this project are so great, the way they just take over an issue and let it, it's really extraordinary.
Janet Reno with us from WLRN, our affiliate in Miami. Her voice has changed, of course, since she was Attorney General of the United States because of Parkinson's disease. And I wanted to ask you, Ben Taylor, as you listened to these other contributions, were there any particular that stood out for you?
I mean, I'm so humbled by being a part of the project. I thought everything was way better than mine, certainly. I mean, but I thought everything was phenomenal. And it strikes me as, music and songs particular and recordings, but songs really are records, and so as sort of historical documents, they serve very well for musical people like me.
Ben Taylor, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ben Taylor, one of the artists who's a contributor to the new CD compilation called Song of America. Ed Peterson, I wanted to ask you, here's some emails that we have from listeners suggesting some of the tunes that might have been on such a record. This is Bob T. writes, "I can think of three off the top of my head: For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield, Woodstock by Joni Mitchell, Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen." He has Bruce Springfield, but I think he was thinking about Buffalo Springfield then. You as you reach, obviously, if you're going back to the 18th century, not a lot of recordings from then. Of course, you have to have contemporary artists to redo the songs. Were you tempted to say, maybe we should get the original recording of The Times They Are a-Changin', for example?
Not at all. And actually, the reason that was a conscious decision is that we wanted to embrace the younger generation. That was part of the reason for having Ben Taylor and Jen Chapin and Martha Wainwright and Harper Simon involved. It's taking it forward to the next generation. And also to inspire and catch the attention of kids. Like some of these, if we had the original artist, it would be great. But if we have these songs reinterpreted by artists that these young people might be familiar with, it might actually cause them to hear the song for the first time ever. So that was the idea.
There's another email we have from Todd, and he says, from the 1940s, he suggests, remember Pearl Harbor. You do have a couple of songs from the World War II era, one that I was really unfamiliar with. It's a Woody Guthrie tune called Reuben James.
Have you heard of the ship called the Good Reuben James? Filled with hard-fighting men, both of honor and fame. She flew the stars and stripes of the land of the free. Now she's in her grave at the bottom of the sea.
Woody Guthrie's song about the Reuben James, an American destroyer sunk by a German submarine before Pearl Harbor in the early days of the Second World War. And there's a great story about that, the original version of that recorded by Woody Guthrie. Ed Peterson, he originally wanted to have all the names of all the men who died on the Reuben James.
Well, Woody was a merchant marine. And curiously enough, he was a merchant marine at the same time as my grandfather. So I often wonder if they ever served together. That would explain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Woody, you know, Woody was a – he was a journalist and a chronicler, and he was a man of the people. And it doesn't shock me that he would want to include everybody's names.
And the liner note suggests that it was Pete Seeger, part of the backup singers at the time for Woody Guthrie, who suggested that instead they say the chorus, "What are their names? What are their names?" Even – more poignant. We're talking about the 3-CD compilation Song of America, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line, and this is Rock. Rock's with us from Payson, Arizona.
Hello, Ira.
I'm not Ira. Ira's on Friday.
Okay. And Janet.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Hello.
Suggests that Johnny Cash's Ira Hayes. That's what I was thinking of. Ira Hayes.
Oh.
That Johnny Cash's Ira Hayes should be one of the songs because it deals with the blending of the Anglos and the American Indians.
And a song, of course, also about World War II.
Oh yeah. You know that plus the fact that the Navajo code talkers and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, every time I think about that song, of course, I saw the movie, too.
Yeah.
But every time I think about that song, I think of Johnny Cash, and I get my hairs just stand up on the back of my neck.
Call him Drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore.
Well, there's a curious twist on that for the caller, is that that song was on the list. That was, in fact, on the original 50, and we had approached an artist who I won't mention to do it, and they... I guess they didn't want to do it, or they didn't have enough time. And we felt that the message was so important that the album, that the Johnny Cash album that song was originally on, was an album called Bitter Tears. I don't know if anyone remembers, but mm-hmm. It was all about the Native Americans.
Yes.
So instead of Ira Hayes, we found another artist to cut another song from that Johnny Cash album that Johnny wrote called Apache Tears.
Because he did not write the Ira Hayes song.
He did not know. That was Pete LaFarge.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I'm glad you have
good choice.
There.
Thanks, Rock.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Good choice, Rock.
Let's go to Kevin. Kevin with us from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hi. When I heard the topic, the first thing that popped into my head just immediately was Country Joe and the Fish singing I Feel Like I'm Fixing to Die Rag.
Come on, all you American boys.
Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for?
Yeah.
So it's...
We got Country Joe on it, buddy.
Sorry?
Country Joe's on the collection.
Oh, he is?
Country Joe's, he's playing pipe on Harper Simon's song.
Really?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
The thing I liked about, I think the reason that one popped into my head, because that particular song, as opposed to the many sort of angst-ridden anti-war songs, was an up yours, Uncle Sam. It captured the sort of the flippancy and irony of that period of time in a way as regards to war in a way that I don't think anyone else did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very poignant.
Well,
good choice.
Thanks very much for the call, Kevin.
Sure.
Bye-bye. And here's an email we got from Jody. I'm currently taking my music to a music children to a music together class where we're singing I've Been Working on the Railroad. My four-year-old is amazingly curious. She keeps asking, who's Dinah? Why is she in the kitchen? And I have to honestly admit, I have no idea. This compilation strikes me as a great way to teach children about the history of America. Thanks to Janet and Ed. I look forward to sharing it with my children. I've Been Working on the Railroad had to have been among the nominees.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, there were 700 songs that we had to whittle down to 50. And it was the toughest, some of the toughest decisions I've ever had to make.
And curiously, I guess maybe not so curiously, if you think about it, three of your tunes end up being by the great Woody Guthrie. We heard one about the Reuben James in a minute, and we're going to wind up by going out with the great This Land Is Your Land. I'd want to thank Ed Peterson, the co-producer of Song of America, a singer and performer. He's on the record as well. And Janet Reno, the former Attorney General of the United States, his co-producer on this record. And Janet Reno, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about baseball, the great American game, and the great American riches that may fall to Yankee Alex Rodriguez. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And the dust clouds rolling, and the fog was lifting, and a voice was chanting, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. Well, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water, this land was made for you and me.